welcome to Rabble Radio. It's Friday, August 18th, 2023. I'm your host, Brianne Doyle. Thanks so much for tuning in. Rabble's got its finger on the beat of the issues that matter to you. If you're curious about the latest news in Canadian politics, labor, environment, or social justice, you've come to the right place. This is news for the rest of us, free of corporate influence. This week on Rabble Radio, Rabble Assistant Editor Georgia Kelly sits down with Marva Burnett, the National President of Acorn Canada. The two discuss the ways Acorn Canada is committed to achieving livable and affordable housing for all Canadians. Acorn Canada is an independent national organization of low and moderate income people with over 160,000 members in their over 20 neighborhood chapters across 9 cities. Burnett is the chair of Scarborough Acorn and is the national president of Acorn Canada. She is also a childcare worker and a mother. She has been a passionate leader with Acorn since it first started organizing in Scarborough in 2015 and has led countless campaigns over the years. Georgia Kelly is a third-year undergraduate in the University of Toronto's Ethics, Society, and Law program. In addition to her work at Rabble, she is also an associate editor for her student newspaper, The Varsity. Here are Georgia Kelly and Marva Burnett in conversation. Take a listen.
Hi, Marva. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
So I want to talk with you today about tenant unions and tenant collective organizing. You're the president of Acorn Canada, which has lots of sort of local tenant groups across the country. But I want to start by asking you about the group that you organized in your own building in Scarborough back in 2004, I believe it was.
Yes, it was summer of 2004. I lived at 1340 Danforth Road in Scarborough. The building, it looked perfect on the outside, but the tenants were having a hard time with the infestations, the molds, you know, everything in their units. So we wanted to do something and we didn't know what to do. So one day I was in my kitchen making dinner at 6 p.m. and someone knocked on my door and asked me if I was having issues with the buildings, you know, with my unit. I just smiled and asked her to come inside. So from... You know, she told me how they're going to help me to help myself. And that's where she got me, because I wanted to know, how are they going to help me to help myself? You know, she showed us what you know, the road we can take, which was forming a union and getting, you know, going to court with the tenants. But although we went to court, we decided to have an action at the building, because it's a compound that had 3 16 stories tall buildings. It's shaped like a Y. So you could imagine how many tenants were in these 3 buildings. And so we just decided to have an action. We held meetings. The first things we did was I put up flyers about asking the tenants to come and meet us and have a meeting and about what. And then we asked the organizers to help us send out press hits. So they sent out press hits. And so the press came, bylaws officers came, you know, some city councillors, some member of parliament and provincial parliament came, and a whole lot of tenants came out. And we had an action there. And after that, the bylaw, you know, the bylaw inspector ordered the building to be fumigated all at once from top to bottom. And then we decided to continue with our action. We went into the office, we spoke with the management, and we had our list of what we want done. We made it clear in no uncertain terms. It's, although I said want, it's not a want. This is what we need, because this is where we live 24/7. We gave the management a list of repairs that we need to get done in the building, and we give them a by date. So they agreed to it, and we just continue going back like every 6 weeks to see where we at with our demands. And, you know, from that, we just move on to other buildings.
So your former building, that's sort of just one of a bunch of sort of local groups across Canada that are are all part of Acorn, which is, you call it like a big, a national tenant union.
Yes, it is. Because although we're in different provinces and so, you know, in cities and, you know, local towns and wherever, we fight for the same thing. It's amazing how, although you live in different cities, different provinces, the same problem exists throughout, whether it's infestation, molds, you know, rent is too much. It's the same thing.
And another thing that I wanted to ask you about was what you call no-fault evictions, right? That's something that Acorn is campaigning against?
We were campaigning against that, yes, because that was in COVID times. The government was making provision for every other sector in Ontario except for tenants. So if you were home and we're not working and we're only receiving that $2,000 a month, it was, you know, it was up for food or rent. And so we started with this no fault. If you're not at fault, why are you trying to get us evicted? You said no fault evictions. We're talking about rent evictions. It's rent evictions are like when a landlord decides, when somebody buys a building and they decide that they don't want to have somebody like these people in the building, so they will try to rent evict them out of the building. So that's what we were fighting for. No rent evictions and no fault evictions, because during COVID times, you have landlords who were threatening to evict tenants because through no fault of theirs, they couldn't make the whole rent. And so we had to do something.
So what can you do? You know, someone, a landlord is threatening eviction or has posted notice for a tenant. What can the group do to sort of challenge this or prevent it from going through?
First of all, the landlord would have to go through certain steps. And we can lobby around the tenants. We'll let the tenants know their rights. We'll be there to support them through it all. We can have actions at that landlord's office, and we can be very persistent. We'll be there, and we'll be there day after day after day after day until that person gets to stay, because things are not easy in today's economy. That's what we normally do. We normally, it's like, you know, the where we say that there's power in numbers. A lot of the times, it's just the numbers that you need to get out there to say enough is enough. This is enough.
So you're literally showing up at the landlord's at the office front door.
Yes, because who lives there? The tenant that they're kicking out. So why shouldn't we be there? Yes. And sometimes if we have to show up here at your house, we will.
You've done that before?
Yes, we've showed up at Doug Ford's house before. Yes.
When was that?
During COVID times, you know, because as I said earlier on, he was making provision for people who have mortgages to get a deferral of their, you know, certain payments, but nothing was made for tenants. Tenants were just getting whatever they were getting. They still had to pay their rent. So we wanted for him to make provisions for tenants who lived in building. You just can't make provision for certain sector of the society and then you leave, you know, the lower income and, you know, the moderate and the lower income people to fend for themselves. You have to make provision for everybody. So we went to his house because we tried everything. We sent him emails. I don't think there isn't anything that we didn't try before we went to his house and he refused to respond. Mm-hmm. So we decided, if you're not going to come to us, then we'll come to you. So we went to him at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And when you say we, is this, you know, is this Acorn members from across Ontario?
Across Toronto. We went, but in COVID times, we didn't take a lot, but we were from different areas in Toronto because we had to social distance and everything. So we went there.
And did it work? Did he listen to you?
Eventually, we did get him to, you remember when he made that statement that if you cannot pay your rent, don't pay your rent. We'll make sure that you don't get evicted. That's what we got after that.
That was you guys.
Oh, yes. We were at his house saying, good morning, Doug Ford.
So I want to talk a little bit more actually about legislative campaigns, because you talk about having demands for your landlord in your building, you know, for them to get rid of the pests. But you're also looking at sort of bigger solutions like rent controls and stronger protections for tenants. So maybe you can tell me a little bit more about those.
We at Acorn, which is all of our tenants, because we are Acorn the tenants, we decided that we wanted to get more out of just rather than every other week we have in an action, because we have roach infestation and the landlord isn't doing it, and we have mole infestation. So we decided to start a License Your Landlord campaign, which we started in sometime 2005, around there. We started to get our landlord's license, because we figure if you have to get a license to drive a car, go fishing, you have to get a permit to go camping, why are you just having somebody owning a building with, you know, 700 people living in it, and there's nothing for him to do except for just buy the building? So, and on top of that, there's so many issues that's going on in these buildings. We can go out every day and we could have actions upon actions upon actions. We will get that one issue that we're working on fixed. But how many apartments do we have in Ontario? We have over 5,000 apartment buildings. So how long is it going to take us to get through 5,000 apartment buildings? All of them might not have the issues that, you know, most of them have. So we decided the best way to go about it, it's this. If we want to affect change wholeheartedly in every rental unit in Ontario, the best way to go about it is to legislate changes. Because once that is enacted, there is going to be rules and laws that they have to follow. Because we know that the system they have with the fines, that's like, a landlord would prefer to pay the fine than to fix whatever they need to fix. So what we've been doing is we've been lobbying our city councillors, lobbying our member of parliament, provincial parliament, and even our member of, you know, federal parliament, because they're the one that states, which it should be so, housing is a human right. And if we're going to have housing, should housing be healthy? Should housing be affordable? You know, it should be all of those things. We've been doing this for years now, lobbying to get change to the legislation. We at Acorn, we are a group of tenants who we don't see ourselves stopping anytime soon until we get what we want. We ask and we ask and we ask, because what we asking for, they not want their needs. And if you're not going to meet us, we'll come to you. That's how we operate, and we don't give up. And until we get these changes in legislation, we'll continue to do it. Somebody might say, why you continue? Eventually, we'll get it. That is our mindset, and we know it.
What are some of the campaigns that you're still fighting for right now? You know, you got the licensing, you got Doug Ford to tell people they wouldn't get evicted during COVID. What's going on right now?
Well, right now we're doing installment loans for, you know what installment loans are. Like, you have these companies out there like Easy Financial, City Financial, which changed their name to Milestone or whatever that name is. So what they'll do is they'll give out installment loans to people who would go and apply for these loans. But what they're doing, they're giving out loans, and the interest rate is like, it's criminal interest rate, which is in Canada, right? You can't go above 60% when you're giving out a loan, because that's illegal. But when you look at an installment loan from Easy Financial or from those companies that give out installment loans, it's basically criminal. So what we did, we lobbied the government, and, you know, we've sent out surveys, we've done it all, and we send them to the government. And so one day the government decided to contact us and wanted to talk about this. So they held their hearings and everything like that. So, you know, they came back with a percentage that we're asking for. We're hoping that we'll get that percentage. And eventually, hopefully, we'll get that new rules around installment loans. We also did, before COVID, we started the Internet for All, because as I think most Ontarians know, this Internet is not cheap for such a developed country. I don't understand why it's so expensive compared to the so-called third world countries that we tend to want to say, oh, you're third world. Compare their rates to our rates, it's absurd. And when COVID hit, everybody had to do everything on the internet. But who could afford to do internet at that time when you're getting $2,000 every couple of weeks and you had to do whatever you have to do with that? You didn't have money for internet, you didn't have. So that's when we contact the government. We had conversations with the government. we had deputations with the CRTC and all of those things. And now we hear that they're working to make internet cheaper for everybody. But we also spoke with Rogers and we also spoke with Bell, because they're the two major companies in Ontario. Rogers decided to go with us and contact us and said, okay, they're willing to provide a product for people who on low income, like for instance, people who live in TCHC buildings, low income and everything like that, which we did appreciate and our members did appreciate. But Bell said they're not doing anything. Of course, it's Bell. So we're continuing with this until we get what we want. There's so many campaigns. We're still going on with our License Your Landlord campaign. We're doing so many things. We've been doing a lot of work trying to get different things done, because tenants are just not concerned about rent. Because after you pay your rent, you still have to worry about your food. You still have to worry about if you're on medication, your prescriptions. You still have to worry about money to pay for transportation. You still have to worry because if you have kids, you have to worry about stuff that they need for school, for this. You have to worry about the extracurricular activity outside of school. You know, so it's like with Acorn, we have this mindset or this mentality, or we believe that tenants are, you know, we're entitled to all of these things. Not just we believe, we know we're entitled to it. So what better way to get it done than through legislative changes, rather than just fighting for one here, one over there, one back there, when you could do it like that? We still continue to fight one here and one there, but we also taking a bigger fight on. And with all of these campaigns that we have going right now, we see it as important to all tenants across the country.
When I first found out about tenant unions, you know, speaking personally, I sort of thought it was, you know, maybe a strange idea. I mean, when I hear union, I think most people think of, you know, workers. I want to ask you, do you think the idea of unionizing with the other tenants in your building, is it getting more popular across Canada? Do you think that more people are jumping on?
Isn't that what I thought that what was Acorn was doing across Canada? Because not only are we doing it in Ontario, we're doing it in Ontario, yes. We have it in London, Waterloo, we have it in Ottawa, Montreal, we have it in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Alberta, Vancouver. You know, we're just spreading it across Canada because, as I said earlier on, you know, it's amazing how the same issues we have in Ontario, we're having it in Alberta, we're having it in New Brunswick, we're having it in Vancouver, Montreal, wherever you look, Ottawa, wherever you look, we're having the same problem. So if they're organizing in Vancouver and Calgary and Ontario and Ottawa and Montreal, it's kind of like a nationwide union because it's all under the same Acorn. So this, yes, I think it's possible, because although some rules might be different in Vancouver or Alberta, what we're fighting is for the same thing: livable homes, affordable homes. So this is what Vancouver, everybody is fighting for. So you could say on the Acorn, it is possible to have like a universal tenants union, and that's called Acorn.
I'm wondering if you think in the future that you might start looking more like how labor unions have, they have collective bargaining rights, or they'll all go on strike if they don't, if they don't like something that the employer's done. Do you think we might see something similar from Acorn?
Don't tenants already have red strike and we go on actions because we don't want this or we need this change? Or that's what we've been doing all along. But yes, in the future, we can see a tenant's 1360, you know, supporting 2,500 mail way. We could see that going on, which it's going on right now, because when we have an action, we call it an action at a building, we'll have tenants from other buildings come out and lend their support, you know, to all of these things. So basically, I would say this is what we're doing right now.
It's also different, though, right? Because, I mean, when a union goes on strike, like a labor union goes on strike, there are laws that, you know, prevent them from being fired, for example. Do you think that there might be protections for tenants in the future, for tenant unions?
Well, don't we have rent strikes already?
We do.
They're being threatened, but they're not being evicted. I would say, are the tenants being evicted because of rent strikes?
They're being threatened, for sure.
They're being threatened, but they're not being evicted. I would say that in some ways, we have some protection against that. But what we would like to get is better protection so that when we do go out on a full-blown strike, a landlord could only stand and watch and then decide whether or not he's going to do whatever we're asking for. We have some protections, but it could be better.
I know a lot of people are pretty pessimistic right now about housing in Canada, especially renting. You know, it's getting more expensive. We hear stories every other day about how bad it is. But it sounds like you're pretty optimistic.
Here's the thing. We have to be optimistic. We have to. If we want to make change, it's only us could affect change. And that's why I say we as ACON, we're in a unique position because we are growing and growing and growing. There's no power like the power of the people. And eventually, the government would have to stand up and take notice and do something. Because when you have the federal government, this is what we believe, when you have the federal government who's telling you housing is a right, and then you have a Doug Ford who's trying to erode the rights of tenants. So all we can do is fight because things can't, it's not going to get worse. It would have to get better because when you stand up in numbers, you get things done. I know it might sound like, oh yeah, cliche, but coming from where we stand, we've seen what we've accomplished and we know it's not just us. There's a lot of tenants union across Ontario that's asking for so many different things. And for me, it's when we as tenants start waking up to all of this and we realize that when we want something, we have to go out there and stand for it. Because if we're not going to stand for it, nobody else is going to stand for it for us. So we want help. We have to learn to help ourselves. And helping ourselves is through the government, the provincial government, city councillors, and the member of parliament. This is where we have to get our help from. We need to get change and we'll get it. Because I don't think if the federal government doesn't make changes, I don't think Canadians would tolerate what could happen, you know, throughout the country if we don't have affordable homes for people to go. Because it's bad enough when you walk on the street at night, you see people sleeping in cardboard boxes, on the grids, and all of these things. It's not acceptable. Canada is too rich to be having people like this.
That was Rabble's assistant editor, Georgia Kelly, and Marva Burnett, national president of ACORN Canada, in conversation. Thanks so much for that, Marva and Georgia. Switching gears now, here's Rabble editor Nick Seabrook to catch us up on the top news stories of the week in a segment we like to call In Case You Missed It. Over to you, Nick.
Thanks, Brianne. This week's economic news was dominated by the ever-increasing rate of inflation. The year-over-year rate of inflation rose by 3.3% in July, up from 2.8% in June. The rate of unemployment in Canada is also on the rise, which economist Jim Stanford says is a further example of how the Bank of Canada's strategy for tackling inflation is inefficient and harmful. As more Canadians experience unemployment, inflation should decrease as demands on goods diminishes. This is the Bank of Canada's thinking as they continue to raise their key interest rate month after month, meaning that Canadians are paying more interest on debt and have less disposable income for goods. This week on Rabble.ca, Stanford explains, quote, "Post-pandemic inflation was clearly caused by factors outside of the labor market, namely supply chain disruptions, shortages of key commodities, the energy price shock following the Ukraine invasion, and aggressive profit-taking by corporations in strategic sectors of the economy. It is not surprising that the engineered increase in unemployment over the past year has had no visible impact on price increases," end quote. In labor news, Rabble labor reporter Gabriela Kaluge-Kasuga explored the slave-like conditions that imprisoned workers face and solutions they can pursue for more equitable treatment. Incarcerated workers in Canada are often required to work as a part of their sentence and are paid less than $7 per day. Workers are often engaged in maintenance of their facilities, some of which have asbestos or other hazardous issues. A solution to the problem that prison workers face would be to unionize, but attempts to unionize in prison are often met with union-busting tactics. Prisoners who refuse to work can often be punished for it, or even have their sentences extended. In addition to this, some prisoners who attempt to organize are transferred to other facilities to stymie their efforts. In other labor news, Karen Brown has been re-elected as the president of the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario, just as that union prepares to begin a strike vote. Brown has served as president of the Elementary Teachers Federation since 2021, when she became the first Black president to be elected to a provincial teacher affiliate union in Canada. The union represents 83,000 teachers across the province, and their members have been without a contract for nearly a year. At issue for the union are smaller class sizes, transparent hiring practices, workload and working conditions, violence in the classroom, and more. Ontario Education Minister Stephen Lecce released a statement claiming that the union had rejected offers of private mediation and reiterated his commitment to keeping kids in school. Meanwhile, the union says that the government has failed to engage with them meaningfully on any of their outstanding issues, and that they will be conducting votes on a strike measure in September and October. Finally, a tense verbal sparring match occurred this week between Alberta Premier Danielle Smith and reporters at a media scrum over the Premier's decision to pause development of all renewable energy projects in the province. Smith claims that her decision to enact the pause came at the request of Alberta's energy regulators, but a letter between the Office of the Utilities Minister and the regulator dated July 21st shows no such request. When pressed on this point, the Premier pivoted to saying that the pause was implemented over rural concerns about energy projects being built on prime agricultural land. Read the full version of all of these stories mentioned here today on Rabble.ca.
And that's it for Rabble Radio this week. Thanks as always for tuning in. If you like the show, please consider subscribing to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate, review, share Rabble Radio with your friends. It takes 2 seconds to support independent media like Rabble. If you have feedback for the show, ideas, stories, opinions you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear about it. Get in touch with us anytime at editor@rabble.ca. Thank you to all the journalists and writers who contributed to this week's content on rabble.ca, and thank you to Carl Nirenberg for supplying the music. Lastly, thank you to you for tuning in to Rabble Radio. I'm Brianne Doyle, and I'll talk to you next week.